Hi, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you again. Familiar faces and maybe some non-familiar faces, perhaps. Once again, I'm thankful to the Lord and I'm able to come and share the Word of God with you as per request in Philippians. It's an odd title up there, almost a Christian. So bear with me and I'll explain to you what and why I chose that title. So let's read together first the first six verses together from chapter 3 of Philippians, just to get our context right. And from last time, we are picking up this from last time that I was here, when the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And we looked at that in detail, how to rejoice in the Lord. It is a mark of a Christian to rejoice and to chase after rejoicing. We want to chase after the joy of the Lord. And Paul says to write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and it's safe for you. And then he gives these warnings. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And these are those false teachers that Paul in our text this morning wants to expose. And he puts himself in this category, and I will show you in a minute. Because he says we are not like them, the Christians, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. So true Christians, they don't put confidence in the flesh, whether by circumcision or by works. Then Paul says that I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul now wants to silence this false doctrine of circumcision, of works, in using himself in it, that was infiltrating the church. But we have to understand something. Where there is wrong teaching, there are wrong people. Where there are false teachers, there are false converts. And Paul uses himself here. And we need to understand something. What Paul is going to explain to us. We know that Paul, I'm sure you have heard this before, is probably one of the greatest Christians who ever walked planet Earth. But at one point in Paul's life, he had false confidence in salvation. He believed in what he was doing, as we will expound, was a ticket for him to get to heaven. If anyone was going to enter into the kingdom of God, it would have been this guy, the Apostle Paul. And that's why I called it almost a Christian. Let me just quickly say this. There is no such thing as almost a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. Now, this is going to be a bit strong for you today, but I need to share something with you about me. I have concern, such concerns for Christian churches who are raising up people who are just self-righteous, people who are not saved, people who claim to know Christ and have nothing to do with Him. My desire is to enjoy Christ, and my desire is to see the brethren grow in their salvation in Christ. My desire is to see people come to Christ, and my desire is to expose those who have false confidence in themselves. I have a yearning for this, because we can come to church and we can do things and yet still not be Christian. If there was anyone who was ever going to enter the kingdom of God apart from Jesus, it would have been Paul. Everyone else would have been lagging behind. Who is Mother Teresa? Lagging behind. Who is Buddha? A statue. Lagging behind. Who were the popes? Every popes that have been before. All the righteous people would have been lagging behind, and the Apostle Paul would have been first in line. If heaven was to rejoice over one sinner who would repent, apart from Jesus, that would have been the Apostle Paul. Our beloved apostle, he now uses himself, a man who has written most of the New Testament, 13 epistles, as far as I know, with the exception maybe of Hebrew. There's an indifference with people. We do believe that Hebrew was written by God, the Holy Spirit. But I have this huge concern. I want to share with you just a couple of why I am so strong about this and why I chose to name this almost a Christian. Many of you may not know this, but I like doing street evangelism. And so we go out into the streets and we proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. He died, He rose from the grave, He ascended to the Father, and He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And I had a man whom I discipled for a year and a half. This man, to me, was the most fiery man. He loved Jesus. He preached Jesus. He will preach hellfire. He will preach repentance. He will tell you you need Christ lest you go to hell. If you believe in yourself, trust in yourself, none of that will get you to heaven. This man walked away from it. This man, at best, is agnostic. He doesn't believe anymore that Jesus is the only way. The man was but a false convert. I love him dearly, but he's still a false convert. He believed in himself. And there are many within, amongst us, who claim to know Christ personally, yet in their lives, they really don't know Him. They don't have any affections for Him. They do Christian stuff. I'll tell you another story of a man who I met. His mom, and she was an elderly woman. And I was talking to her about the things of God, and she was talking to me, and I said, man, there is no Christianity. She's been a believer for like 40 years, and I can't hear anything about Jesus but worldly stuff, you know, not sinful stuff, but just stuff. And I said to my friend, I said, hey, man, is your mom saved? Because I just met her, you know, I want to know so I can actually deal with her in a proper way. Oh, yeah, man. She gave her life to Jesus 25 years ago. I said, wow, okay. How has she been going ever since? Well, she did a prayer. She prayed and she felt the Spirit of God moved her. She got goosebumps, you know. And she gave her life to Jesus. I said, well, how has her life been for 25 years? Oh, she doesn't come to church. She doesn't read the Bible. She doesn't want anything. She actually hates Christians. Well, I'm sorry. This is sad. And this is a worldwide pandemic that will kill more people and send more people in hell than COVID ever did. Or the plague, or the Black Plague, or the Spanish flu. We need to remember the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. We had people like Judas that we can learn from and say, but I'm not Judas. Listen, Judas was the guy who held the money. He wasn't like the average guy. He was entrusted with something great, the finances of the church. And yet he was a son of the devil. The Apostle Paul, he was an astute man, a very serious man. And he loved the scriptures, as we will see. He understood scriptures. He chose a man named Demas. And then he said, Demas, in love with this present world, he made a shipwreck of faith. Not everyone who says they're Christians are Christians. And we want to look into the mirror of God's law and to see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. There are best people look into the law of God and they see themselves as pretty, as good looking, as great. They're doing great. It's like vanity smurf. You look in the mirror and you go, wow, this is, I'm doing good. You know what? What's going to happen in the kingdom of God? When I enter into the kingdom of God, God's going to say, wow, I was waiting for you. You know, because you're so good. Some confess Christ and they say, I am clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. And yet they walk around naked with the things of the world attached to them. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? If you love me, go and live your life. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The reflection of our true born-again nature, brothers and sisters, my dear friend, young and old, is that you live your life for Christ. Just one more thing. I don't know how many of you know John Piper. I'm sure you know John Piper. He wrote a book, and I did this many years ago with the youth, called Don't Waste Your Life. Don't Waste Your Life. He wrote that book based on a man who was in this congregation of under his father's fiery preaching. His father was a hell preacher. You need Jesus and Jesus alone. If you think I'm loud, then you don't know John Piper's father. And this man was loud. And there was a man in that congregation, an elderly man who went in, week out, claimed to be born again until one day God spoke to him in a hymn. So God bless you guys for the music. You know what he did? He wept and wept. And he said, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. What a waste. He's now an old man. And he says, I've wasted my life in self-confidence, in false confidence, where all I needed to do was put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So here we are. I entitled this Almost a Christian, simply because there is no such thing. And so the Apostle Paul now is going to use himself that he wants to break down this thing. He wants to explain to the church whom he loves to make sure they are not caught up in this error. And he uses himself in his own achievements to prove to people that if anyone was going to be saved, it would have been me. Look at the verse with me. Look at chapter 4. That I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Indeed, if anyone can get to heaven on their own, I, the Apostle Paul, would have nailed it. I would have nailed it. This word, if, here in the Greek, it means if, I won't get into the detail of the Greek, but for the sake of Greek, for the sake of the argument, let's pretend that this is true. This is what Paul is saying. Let's pretend that it's true, okay? Let me explain myself to you. Let's pretend that getting to heaven, you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the law of God. If that's true, let me explain to you, my brethren, that hey, I am the guy. I am that guy. If getting to heaven is only by the flesh and by works, Paul is saying, I have more confidence than you. If you think you've got these self-righteous people, if you are self-righteous here this morning, if you think you got confidence to get to heaven, then get in line with Paul because Paul outweighs you. And the word there for confidence, it actually speaks of trusting and depending upon and being convinced that what I believe in is true. Paul says if there's anyone who has the right confidence, which was false confidence to get to heaven, it is me. If you got a picture of a false, holy scale and you will grab all the self-righteous people, all the self-confident people, and you put them on one side and you put Paul, Paul is saying, I outweigh all of you. I am outweighing all of you. If there was ever a welcoming by the holy angels to anyone, for a sinner who repents and enters into the kingdom of God, by themselves with self-confidence, you know what would have happened? The holy angels would have said, hey, hey, move away. Apostle Paul's coming. You know. And the trumpets would have sounded throughout eternity. Paul is coming. That's what Paul is saying. I've got this. If that's the case, I've got this. If anyone was to hear the wonderful words, and I'm sure those of you who are saved want to hear, welcome, come in, good and average servant. No, no, we don't want to hear that, right? Come in, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the rest of your master. If you can achieve that apart from Jesus, man, the Apostle Peter would have been, because it's always Peter at the pearly gates, right? And he would have said, let this man in. He's outweighed everybody. And then Jesus comes and says, get out of the way. Welcome. He's almost a Christian guy, but he's nowhere near Christ. He's nowhere near Jesus. If there is rejoicing with the angels and with all the hosts of heaven of one sinner who repents, apart from Jesus, it's Paul. My desire for you this morning, that none of you try to climb up some other way into the kingdom of God. That you think somehow your confidence, I'm here to tell you, stop it. Stop relying on your works. Stop relying on yourself. Stop trusting in you. There's nothing good. The Apostle Paul says, there's nothing good that dwells in me later on when he becomes a Christian. Paul, listen. Paul, at this point in his life, genuinely, wholeheartedly, with great affection, believed that he was right. He really believed in his self-deceived confidence. You know that you can actually believe in something genuinely and genuinely be wrong, right? I mean, don't we see the news all the time? I mean, they've allowed abortion now. They genuinely think they're helping women. They genuinely think, hey, they're doing the right thing. They are genuinely wrong. We are told by society now that it's okay to be gay. They are genuinely wrong. It is a sin. So we can be genuinely passionate and desire to do somehow something right in our own minds, but if it doesn't fit the word of God, it is wrong. That includes our salvation. Paul is encouraging this church to say, listen, brothers and sisters, and everyone who is there, don't be fooled by this. I was once like this. That means this. You could be hearing doctrine. You could be hearing the word of God. You can cross the T's and dot the I's, and Athanasius comes up and says, here's what the Greek says, and he expounds it, and he explains it, and it sounds fantastic, and everybody's writing all this stuff. And then you have one lady who's got a box full of little notes. I used to write notes after notes, and then I threw them all out because I had no idea what I wrote. And you write, and you write, and you write, and you go, hey, man, I got someone. You say, hey, man, do you love Jesus? Well, yeah. I took down that, you know, there's a first class condition in the if, and, you know, then there is a third class condition, which means if it, who cares? Do you love Christ? Do you love Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? And is it reflected in your life? And Paul is saying, listen, I had false confidence. And then he goes on to explain, let me tell you the reason why I had it. Now I want to explain to you why I had this false confidence. And we begin from verse 5. We can break it down slowly. Here's the first thing. Circumcised on the eighth day. Remember, these guys are saying you need to be circumcised, you need to do works, you need to do all this stuff. And it was a Mosaic law that people will be circumcised on the eighth day. And well, Paul is saying, listen, I was not circumcised on the seventh day or the ninth day or 16 days later or 6 years later. Or 99 years later, like Abraham, kind of weird. Not like that guy. I was circumcised on the eighth day. If anybody is from the covenant of Yahweh, it is me. I am part of Yahweh's covenant. If anyone was to cut away any filth in the flesh, hey man, I was right from 8 days. Look, I was a Christian from when I was 8 days. Maybe they baptized me straight away. You can't find fault in me. On the eighth day, I was circumcised in dealing with sin issue under the Mosaic. I was not added to Judaism, and I've been clean since 8 days old. But the Apostle Paul himself, as you know, after his conversion in Galatians, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ is what? Will be of no benefit to you." It's pointless. This is the reason that Paul now is breaking down as to why he had false con. At that time, he believed there was true con. And we continue so that we can get this right to apply it in our own lives. Not only he's circumcised on the eighth day, look at what it says. He's of the people of Israel. He's of the nation of Israel. There is no other place for me to be born out of, because the word thereof is actually eh, which is the word we get. Oops. Is that right, brother? Out of. So in other words, he wasn't grafted in. He wasn't a proselyte. He wasn't from another. He wasn't Greek. He wasn't Italian. He wasn't Australian. He wasn't, you know, Malaysian. He said, I came out of this nation. Why is that important? Because that's the nation that God chose. He didn't choose the Romans, God forbid, they used to wear skirts back then. He didn't choose the Egyptians. He didn't choose any other nation but this nation to be a blessing. They were the covenant nation. They held the truth of God. The prophets came from them. The blessings went to them. They were the covenant people, the nation of Israel. And he says, I come from this people. I am one of the chosen people of God. I come out of that nation. But it wasn't just a nation. Paul continues. Look at what it says. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. You can't get any better than me. I come from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the tribes that chosen by God that was relatively good. Just a couple of times they stuffed up. But he says, I am from the descendants of this Benjamin who started the southern kingdom of Judah. And all the other names, they've gone off. I am the right one. I am from the right stock. I come from these guys. And God looked at me and says, hey, man, this guy is good. Look at this, buddy. I'm the one who's going to enter into the kingdom of God because I'm a chosen person from the nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah, where they set up the temple and sacrificed in the holy city of God. I come from that right lane. Then Paul says, not just that, I am a Hebrew. Hebrew. When I looked at this, I had to go back to my roots as an Italian. I don't know how many, is there any Italians here? No one. Oh my, I'm the only Italian. God bless you all. Praise God you're not. Italians are so strange. Except me. I'm odd. They have this thing. I want to explain to you what Paul meant. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. You get this? You talk to an Italian. You say to them, hey, where are you from? They go, I'm Italian. And I say, me too. And they'll say, yeah, but I'm Italian. Go, well, I just told you I'm Italian. Yeah, but I'm really Italian. I don't understand what that means. Are you Italian? Yeah, I'm Italian. I'm not sure how that fits. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, if there's any Hebrews, I am more Hebrew than them, okay? I don't know how that fits. But the Apostle Paul is making this claim. He's saying, if I were to boast, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, man. I am above all the Hebrews. My beard was longer than, I won't name because this is getting recorded. It's long. I'm very, very Hebrew. I'm very Jewish. I'm going to have to grow mine back, man. I am so Jewish. I mean, if you can have a scale of Judaism and you put people on one side and the other, Paul is very, very Jewish. He attended the synagogue. He would have studied, gone to Hebrew school, listened to the parents, obeyed, listened to the law of God. He would have been a very, very upstanding young man. And as he grew up, he says, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. And Paul's religiosity, you couldn't fault him. I mean, he continues. As to the law, look at your text in verse 5. Pharisee. I am from the right tribe, you know, the right nation, the right tribe. I'm the right guys, man. I'm the elite. I am a Pharisee. I am one of those who are set apart. The Pharisees were the spiritual elite at that time, right? I just want to give a quick application. Just for a second. You can know this Bible and still be a false. Once again, I don't want to do this because, but it fits. I met a man in the city once. I'm there with the Bible, and I was talking about the wrath of God, the cup of the wrath. And a man came up to me, and he said, can I show you what the wrath of God means in more detail? I sat down with this man, and he showed me from Scripture. My wife is witness. I was like, almost like, this is like going back a few years. I'm still growing. I go, oh, this is really good. I'm taking notes. Do you know what he said? I said to him, so where do you go to church? He goes, I don't go to church. I'm not a Christian. Would you believe that? He studied the Bible because he liked it. That's all. I mean, may God save this man, right? I mean, faith comes by hearing, hear by the word of Christ, okay? I'm just giving you an illustration that the Apostle Paul, he would have studied and studied what we actually know that he studied well. He was under Gamaliel, right? One of the greatest teachers at that time. He studied the scriptures with great detail. And he kept the law. Pharisee means set apart. One who's set apart for God, unto God, for good works. He says, I am one of those people. I was set apart. They read, they studied, but ultimately there was no change. Paul was not changed. They looked good on the outside, maybe to people. Some of you may look good. You might come on Sunday and say good morning, hello, hi, how are you? You sit down, you cross your legs, you go like this, and you're really nice. And then you go out and go, bleh! I hope you don't. But the Apostle Paul says of himself that he was advancing beyond all of his contemporaries. He was such a zealous person. In fact, I believe, I mean, for myself, I'm not going to talk about your elder. I believe if the Apostle Paul was here, ever seen, you know, have you ever done a good person test with people? You know, you're not saved, you give them the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. I think if the Apostle Paul was here and I had to give him the law, I would probably pass him over to you, man. Because he would say, I've kept it all. I've done everything possible. What can you stone me for? It sounds like, you know, the rich young ruler, you know. Jesus, what can I do? You know. But I do this and keep this. I've done all that. All right, then. Let me go to the heart of the matter. Go and sell everything and come and follow me. I can't do that. Sometimes we can be like this. We are grounded perhaps in knowledge, thought, and understanding of Scripture. By no means, I'm telling you not to read Scripture. Okay, don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you here. Please read the Scriptures. But you must read the Scriptures through the lenses of Christ. You must read the scriptures, come into the scriptures, and seeing yourself in the scriptures for what the scriptures actually say about you. Not what you can actually add to the scriptures. And ask God to reveal himself to you. Because the Apostle Paul continues in verse 6. He keeps expounding on his credentials as to why he had this false belief that he was going to heaven. He says, as to zeal, I persecutor of the church. He was so zealous. He was so passionate. I've been called many times a lunatic for Jesus. I thank God for it. I think at this time, Paul was a loony Jew. Because he really believed that through the... That's a joke. Looney Tunes? No one got it? You're too old. I watched the Looney Tunes. He was so passionate. He was ready to die for that cause. But he was going to die for the wrong cause. He was a persecutor of the church. I'm telling you so many stories that come into my mind today. I went to the Shepherd's Conference a couple of years ago. I met a man. I want to share this with you. The zeal that this man had. Talking about zeal. Talking about the passion. Because passion, zeal here speaks of something that is actively driving you with force to bring about whatever you believe in, to let everyone know. That's what Paul was like. And I met a man who is converted. In fact, if you want to look it up, it's a book called From Macca to Christ. What a wonderful, godly man. He came to Jesus Christ. He came to faith. And he came from a background, you can read the book yourself, of the highest, you know, Muslim crazy people. I don't know what they call. I forgot the my mom. I don't know what it, the family was absolutely full on. He came to saving faith. Do you know where he went to preach the gospel? At Ramadan. And I said to him, brother, and he's been shot at, stabbed. He's got scars on his face. He's got everything's happened to him. I said, brother, are you not? He goes, listen, if I was, this is the Apostle Paul, if I was willing and ready to die for a false god who is the devil in Islam, I am definitely going to die for the right God. I think we can learn a lot from that. That if we understand Jesus Christ and every other belief outside of that is nothing more than a demonic influence that gets you away from the truth of Scripture, then we will be so active.
I spoke to brother before.
Blessed my soul. I'm at a petrol station, man, and I preach the gospel to someone. God bless you, brother. They need to hear it. It doesn't matter where we are. We need to tell them, listen to me. Whatever confidence you have in thinking that you're going to save your soul, let me tell you, it's false.
Jesus is the way.
And so, in the eyes of people, the Apostle Paul comes across zealous, affectionate, and all these things, but Paul is explaining that none of these things were going to save him. In fact, he says here at the end of it, and we'll start to wrap it up.
Verse 6, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul calls himself blameless. I don't know if I could ever do that, even in my pride, I guess. Maybe because I'm saved. But he says I'm blameless. You know, that got me thinking, actually. Now, the only person God ever called blameless, do you know who it was? Besides Jesus being, was Job.
He's a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. All he's saying, I'm that man. I have integrity. I'm not perfect. I don't think Paul was saying he was perfect, but he was saying he was honest. He was a straight shooter. He was morally good. He was trying to live that life. And by the way, I don't know if you guys know this. We have 10 commandments in the Bible. Does anyone know? We have 10 commandments. Do you know there are actually 613?
You don't.
You know that, right? All right. Well, do you know what the Jews did so that they wouldn't break those 613 laws?
They added the Talmud.
Do you know what that is? They added other laws so that they wouldn't break these laws. I've got a headache. I'm trying to keep one. The only one I'm keeping is I'm clinging to Jesus. And Jesus then works through me. Paul says, I didn't just keep the law of God. I'm keeping the law of my Jewish fathers. I'm the law keeper. I've got this. If anyone is going to enter into the kingdom of God. So how do we apply this, brothers and sisters? How do we apply this to those of you who are not yet saved? Well, maybe some of you are here this morning and have been circumcised. I don't know.
I don't know if there's any Jewish people here. Shalom.
Any people from the tribe of Benjamin here this morning? But maybe you think that you're from a good place,
you know,
and that's going to save you. Well, we just read that this is wrong. And maybe you think you were born in a Christian home. You see, the Apostle Paul, being brought up in a Jewish home, he would have been given to the elders to present to God as a thankful, not a sacrifice to kill him, but to say thank you. And we do that as Christians, you know. A baby's born and, you know, we say to the elders, can you pray for him that he may be a God-fearing man or woman or whatnot. And maybe some of you have experienced that as a baby and you go, okay, my mom and dad did that. My grandfather was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. My parents are Christian. Hey, are you a Christian? I must be a Christian. No, that doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? You've heard this saying before. You can put a donut into a garage. Doesn't matter how many years it's there for. It's going to turn into a car. It'll still be a donut. Moldy one, but it'll be a donut. You must be born again. So where do I begin, Ralph? Well, let me tell you something.
The Apostle Paul also wrote this in Romans, chapter 3, verse 10 onwards. But in Ecclesiastes, it says this. Here's where we begin. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. That includes the Apostle Paul. Does that include you this morning?
You need to recognize that you are a sinner
in deserving of hell.
People are so scared to talk about hell. I actually don't get it. I'm sorry if I'm sounding harsh to you. But how on earth will you ever understand the good news of Jesus if you don't understand hell? Hell is a picture of God's grace to you in the face of Jesus Christ. Because we read, there is a way that seems right to man. And what? But its end is death. You see, in the Garden of Eden, three deaths. One was spiritual. We don't see God, we don't hear God, we don't talk to God. We talk to God, of course, but we don't hear him back. If you do, let me know. You have a different line, okay? We have been separated from God because that spiritual birth, and it came through disobedience. Two, there is a physical death. Obviously, none of us are dead here yet, okay? But as you get older, you really feel the sting of death. Neck problems, headache problems, knees. Ralph is here and he's swaying. He's doing it. By the way, I'm only swaying so I can stay straight.
But then there is another death. This is what this proverb is saying.
You may think that your way is the right way, but the end, the result of your way is eternal death. Your way will only lead you as far as to the judgment of Christ by rejecting that free gift of salvation in Jesus. You may be here this morning and you are a member of redemption. And maybe you've been baptized.
Are you born again?
Are you saved? Has Christ risen in your heart? Christ Jesus, he offers you, come to him freely. He doesn't say, listen to me, get rid of your sins, make yourself right, like the Apostle Paul, because that's what Paul is arguing. That's what Paul was trying to do. In his own mind, even persecuting the church, Paul thought he was doing the will of God. But Paul later on tells us, I did it out of ignorance. God, listen to me, young men, young women, old women, middle-aged. Jesus does not say, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, get rid of your sins and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come as you are and I'll make you clean. Come as you are without your self-confidence and I will give you eternal confidence. My spirit is going to confirm with your spirit that you're a child of God. Don't trust in yourself. The scripture makes it clear. People trust in horses and chariots. Trust in the Lord. That's where your salvation lies. Salvation is not of you. Salvation is of the Lord. Don't take credit for it, because that credit, you will pay for it in eternity. So give credit where credit is due. Jesus came to seek and save sinners. Christmas is coming, right? I'm sure you're going to talk about the virgin birth. Listen, Jesus was not bored in heaven. And he said to the Father and Holy Spirit, listen, I'm bored out of my brain. It's been eons and eons. And it's been a long time. I'm just going to become a man and die. You know, he did not. He came to seek and save the lost.
So come to Jesus. For the scripture says, the Apostle Paul says, that there's no distinction between a Jew Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Your lineage cannot save you. Your works cannot save you. Your Christian home cannot save you. Being Chinese, Italian, and being in a background, even if you were Jewish, God bless your heart, shalom, it's not going to save you. None of those things will save you. Being circumcised in the flesh will not save you. Doing good works will not save you. Coming to church will not save you. Listen to me preaching will not save you. What will save you is that you come to Jesus and you get on your knees and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And Christ will cause you to be born again. Spurgeon said this, the text does not say you must be improved. You must be born again. Don't try and improve your life. Now, if you're a Christian, we're going to talk to you guys. You definitely need to improve your Christian walk. But when it comes to salvation, don't try. Don't try. Stop trying. Stop it. That's what Paul is going against. Don't go down this route. You want to seek? Please go back to your Bible. Let me give you the application that perhaps when Athanasius invites me again, we will talk about the application in greater detail, because Paul doesn't leave us like that. He doesn't leave us like, hey, you just condemned us. Now what? Well, watch what Paul says. Look at the next few verses from chapter, from verse 7. But whatever I gain, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever gain I had, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may have Christ. And watch this. Are you ready? And be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God depends on faith. At that cross, when you repent, when you believe in Jesus, Jesus takes that. Here, all right? He takes that. This is your dirty clothes. And he throws it. And he says, it's no good. And then he closes you.
with his righteousness. Then he says, here it is, my perfect record of the law that you could not keep. Why would you not come? I have such a concern that some of you here may think you're saved, but you're not. You need to be born again. You need to come to Jesus. You need to say to Jesus, clothe me with your righteousness. I have nothing of my own. Nothing. I want you, Jesus, and I want to count everything as lost for the surpassing worth. I want to know you. And if you're a Christian today, then you come to Christ and you live out your salvation. And you make that salvation sting to everyone who comes your way. You live out that salvation with zeal and with passion. There is a reason why Paul now, as a converted man, says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I was killing the Christians now. Now I'm willing to die for them.
That's your application.
Love your brethren. Serve them. Show them Christ. Reveal yourself to them in a mighty way, the way Paul is showing us here. He wasn't serving himself. He says, it's better for me to leave and be with Christ. But for a time, I'm going to be here because it's more beneficial for you. So whilst you're here, guess what? Whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever blessing God has given you, it is not yours. It is your brothers and sisters. Give it to them. Freely, it was given to you. Freely give it away. Amen?
Oh, that's okay.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that none of my words would touch the people of redemption, but your word. Nothing that I said, Father, that was out of context will even resonate for 1 second in their mind, but all that Christ will speak to them. Oh, Father, draw people into your kingdom. What a great thing it is to live into the presence of God all the days of our lives until you take us home. And for us believers, Father, may we live our lives with great zeal and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please thank you, Father, for redemption. Thank you for this God-fearing church. I pray a blessing. I pray that you shake the foundation of this place, that all those who may still not know you, they are confused, they do not know, maybe relying on themselves, that will see the beauty of Jesus Christ. That's why you came, because we cannot do this on our own. So please, Father, I pray that the seeds fell on good ground and bring forth fruit of righteousness, if 30 and 60 and 100-fold, that Christ will be exalted.